It is good to see you this morning. And as Ted said, we're going to jump right in. And we are talking this morning about our congregational value of being an emotionally healthy community. We, as the Evanston Vineyard, desire and intentionally pursue being an emotionally healthy community. And we're going to talk about what that means, kind of how we see that in the life of Jesus, and why we believe that is so very important for us as a church. And just for kind of sake of definition, and so that we're all having kind of the same conversation, when we talk about emotional health, what we mean by that is that emotional health is the capacity to be aware of, to control, and to express one's emotions, and to handle our relationships with wisdom and with empathy. We believe that to be spiritually mature, we must be emotionally mature. And emotional health gives us the courage and compassion we need to listen, collaborate, learn from one another, and to live together. In order to be who we've been called to be as followers of Jesus, we must grow in our emotional health. Like, all throughout the Bible, we're given this kind of instruction, this vision for who we're meant to be as the body of Christ, as a community of believers. And as we unpack those verses, it becomes really clear that in order to do those things, we have to be emotionally mature. Or we have to be emotionally healthy. Let's look at a few of those references. Here's the first one in Ephesians 4. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Or in Galatians 6. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And another one from 1 Peter 4, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Those are just like three of the many references all throughout the Bible where we have a vision or an idea of what it means to be a community of people who follow Jesus. There's references to humility, to patience, to peace, to restorative justice, to self-control, to care, to generosity, to empathy. I read these verses and I think, I want to be in a community like that. I want to be like that, and I want to be around people who show up that way. And for any measure of that to happen, for any ounce of that to come into life, I have to become emotionally healthy. I do not kind of come out of the box that way. Those are not my natural presets. What's true is that God has made me to be a strong human being with big feelings and big ideas. God has given me lots of energy and a desire for deep relationships with other people. I am oriented towards issues of justice and equity. God created me in His image. God created you in His image. And I really like who God has made me to be. And like any of us, that design of who God has made me to be can easily bend away from God, and my emotional health can deteriorate. And I have lots of little like clues or cues when my emotional health is beginning to deteriorate. I'm assuming you have some as well. Here are mine. I know things are beginning to deteriorate when I start to want to be in control. When I let my feelings become the truth. When I overwork myself. When I pull away from my people and I turn inward. inward, when I'm limited by a scarcity mindset, when I start to pick a fight wherever I go. Those are my clues that things are beginning to deteriorate. And what's true is that for many years, I lived like those things were so familiar to me that I thought they were my version of normal. Kind of like, well, this is whom Jesus made me to be. I ignored any sort of rumble or discontent with those things, and I continued to love Jesus and to do the things that Jesus did. It's how I showed up in the world. Until one day, I was in a conversation with my spiritual director, and I was expressing to her, like with great intensity, this deep conviction I have to follow Jesus and to do what he wants me to do with my life. And in that particular moment, I was relentlessly trying to discern what God wanted me to do. Okay? And so I would ask these questions of God in various forms, trying to get him to answer me. And what's true is he wasn't answering me, and I was annoyed with him. So I was expressing this to my spiritual director. And she listens with lots of empathy, and after a moment of silence, she says to me, "What if the question for now isn't, Jesus, what do you want me to do? But rather, Jesus, who do you want me to be?" It was like this holy moment for me. It's like forever frozen in time in my brain. And it seemed like one of those moments that was like bursting with potential. Like Jesus was so present to me, and he was asking me to take a good hard look at some things that I had ignored or decided were less important than what I produced and what I accomplished. So I began to ask that question fairly slowly. Jesus, who do you want me to be? I would ask it, you know, as I'm drinking coffee in the morning. I would ask it when I'm in my car going somewhere. I would ask Jesus, who do you want me to be at night? And I started to kind of wrap my brain around this idea. I mean, because I knew that I was supposed to become like Jesus, right? Like that was, that's kind of what we talked about last week, about becoming like Jesus. I knew that that was the goal. But for me, I had centered that entire process around doing the things that Jesus did rather than being who Jesus was. I mean, like, have you ever looked at who Jesus was? It's kind of startling when you begin to look at it. In Matthew 9, Jesus is like hyper-present to the people around him, and he's filled with this deep sense of compassion for them. In Matthew 12, Jesus is responsive, and he's conversational. He asks good questions when people challenge or provoke him. Look at what happens here in Mark 3, verses 1 through 6. Some of them, it says, them is the Pharisees, were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. And so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." And then Jesus asked them, the Pharisees, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill?" But they remained silent. And he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, and he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched out the hand, and his hand was completely restored. And then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians about how they might kill Jesus. Even in this moment where Jesus is angry and deeply distressed, he was attentive to the Holy Spirit. Jesus was not threatened by those who came to challenge him or provoke him. In the presence of their stubborn, hard-heartedness, Jesus remained tender towards this man with this problematic hand in front of him Jesus was fully human with a full set of emotions. And all throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus was authentic. He was present with those people around him in his own feelings. He was differentiated. He wasn't pressured by expectations or the kind of the moment around him. He was wise. He was attentive to the questions that people asked and the motives that they carried when they asked their questions. Jesus is our best example of an emotionally healthy human in the world. This is who we desire to be like. And becoming emotionally healthy is not an individual process. Okay, it is not a process that happens in a vacuum or in a dark tunnel. Excuse me. It is something that happens in community, with other people, in churches, in families, in conversation. The work of becoming emotionally healthy happens in conversation, in collaboration, and in conflict. This is, I believe, the work of carrying each other's burdens. And that is really, really hard to do in community, because if you're anything like me or if we have any similarity, I think it's really hard to learn something out loud in front of someone else in real time, right? I don't like not being good at, or I prefer to be good at things. I prefer to do my learning quietly or privately, and then when I show up in front of you, I'd like to present to you a final product. I don't want to do that in a group, and I don't want you to watch me kind of biff it every once in a while. But becoming an emotionally healthy community means that we all get to do this work together in our individual lives, in tandem with one another. We are moving towards the same goal, even if your process is an individual one. This is a group project. And I'm so sorry if you don't like group projects. This is a group project. And there's actually a lot of beauty in it becoming a group project, because what happens in you and in your process actually has the potential to spur on something in me and in my process and in you and in your process. The gift here actually might be that you don't have to learn everything on your own with your limited scope of resources, but that this is something that we share and collaborate in together. If we can get past the group project feelings, we'll probably find that the flourishing of our entire community is so much more incredible to experience than the flourishing of our own selves as individuals. And one of the kind of outcomes of rearticulating our values and then having conversation here on Sunday mornings about those values, about who we are and who we're becoming, is that it kind of recenters our focus, right? Kind of the ability to name our values says, hey, keep your eye on that, this, or be attentive to this as we're together in a community. And so, as we focus on being an emotionally healthy community, there are kind of three things that we can pay attention to, okay? And there's a lot we could say about being an emotionally healthy community, but I think these three things are really helpful places to start. And the first one is awareness, okay? In emotionally healthy churches, people regularly take a deep look inside themselves, and they ask, what is Jesus trying to change in me? They invite Jesus to bring an awareness and to transform kind of what is sitting below the surface that's actually getting in the way of them becoming like Jesus. You know, being an emotionally healthy person or an emotionally healthy community is not a quick fix. There is no instant version of this, okay? This is long-term work, and it begins with awareness. Awareness leads to insight, and insight leads to change. And so if you're looking for a place to begin this work in your own individual life, you can start with awareness. And you can pray, Jesus, will you show me what you want to change in me? Will you open my eyes to see myself? If you're anything like me, you'll pray that prayer, then you'll wait like 6.3 seconds. And if you don't hear anything, you'll think, I'm good, right? Like, I got nothing to work on. Like, I passed that checkup. Awesome. Must be everybody else's portion of the group project to work on, right? But what you'll notice, you might not notice something like right there in that 10 seconds that you have with Jesus, but my experience is that you will likely become hyper aware of your own emotions, reactions, and actions in the world. It's almost like you can see yourself a little too vividly, right? So, I don't know, maybe you'll be in an interaction with a coworker and all of a sudden you'll be really aware, like, I am so irritated right now. Or you'll notice that you snap at someone. Or you'll notice that there's particular points in the day where you just feel really, really low. And so as you begin to notice kind of how you're showing up in the world, you can take it a step further and you can say to yourself, what am I feeling and why am I feeling it? What am I feeling and why am I feeling it? And when you have a feeling, stay with it. Like, feel it out, okay? So, and I know that's really uncomfortable because lots of our feelings aren't fun feelings. And so, but when you're feeling a feeling, feel it and ask yourself, what am I feeling and why am I feeling it? And you're looking for juicy descriptions here, okay? I used to teach little kids how to write, and we would tell little kids, look for juicy words. Words that when you read them or you squeeze them, they feel, they juice, okay? So for example, if you're feeling sad, we know what that feeling feels like, ask yourself, take it and make it juicier. What kind of sad? Is it frustrated sad? Is it scared sad? Is it lonely sad? Is it disappointed sad? Is it worried sad? Well, let's say it's worried sad. Make it juicier. Well, what are you worried about? Is there something coming that maybe you're hyper aware of? Did something not happen that you thought might happen? Maybe it's just this sense of worry that just is hanging around persistently all the time. What are you feeling and why are you feeling it? If you speak a language other than English, do this in every language you speak. Okay? Ask yourself in each of the languages that are familiar to you or are present in your heart and your mind, ask yourself in those languages, what am I feeling and why am I feeling it? Different languages open us up to vocabulary for our feelings that English doesn't give us. So see what you become aware of or what you have insight to in the other languages that you speak. Another place that we have got to start at or become aware of is our vulnerability. Emotionally healthy churches, in emotionally healthy churches, people live and lead out of vulnerability. And there's a lot we could say about vulnerability. But for the sake of a brief definition, the vulnerability is showing up in your true self, okay? It's being authentic and being transparent, even confessional, in front of other people. In emotionally healthy churches, people speak openly about failure, pain, struggle, their big questions in the world. True vulnerability is courageous. It is a courageous, intentional choice. One of the healthiest church small groups I have ever been a part of included someone who showed up vulnerably often, or in vulnerability often. And here's what it would look like. They would come to the group, and for that group, we would pick different parts of the Bible to read together and then have conversation about. And this person would we had like handouts or whatever. They would grab a handout and they would look at the Bible verses and they would say something like this. Oh my gosh, I really don't like this one. Or like, oh, when I read this, I feel such resistance. Or, oh my gosh, I love it. I can't wait to talk about it. And their vulnerability in the group became contagious, because what the group noticed was that when someone was willing to be vulnerable about how they were in that present moment, they were able to be shaped by the words of the Bible in a closer way, and actual real formation happened. We were led to richer conversation. It was like the words of the Bible got closer to them because there were less barriers for the Bible to move through. And as this person would show up in their vulnerability week after week, different members of the group would do the same thing. So it was like the first 5 minutes of the group was everyone being vulnerable in front of the Bible. And it was like, well, how does this make you feel? Or what's your first reaction to this? Or do you have reaction or anxiety in front of these words? Let's talk about it. You know, Brené Brown, she researches vulnerability and shame. And one thing that she says has always stuck with me, and it's that the difficult thing about vulnerability is that it's the first thing I look for in you, but it's the last thing I want to show you. It's the first thing we look for in each other, but it's the last thing we're willing to give. Does that resonate with you? Like when I read that, I thought, yep. And since we are becoming an emotionally healthy community, I think we just have to choose vulnerability together. Because if we wait to show each other our own cards, it's just going to take a lot longer. And so one of the ways to start is to show up how you are in any given moment. So if you come here on a Sunday morning, or you show up to a group, if it's online or in person, and somebody says to you, hey, how's it going? How are you? Tell them the truth. Okay, so my knee-jerk reaction when somebody says, hey, how are you? Is I'm like, good, you? Like 98% of the time, I'm not good, right? Use all the words. If you're crabby, say you're crabby. If you are tired, say you're tired. If you wish you were somewhere else, tell them. And just say it. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be snippy. You can just say, I'm having a hard time staying in the room right now. I wish I was somewhere else. And if you are the question asker, if you were the one who decided to say, hey, how are you? Take a minute. Don't go into those knee-jerk reactions that we have to fix or to address everything that's been said, but you could say something like, thank you for telling me the truth. Or, I know how that feels. Or, I'm so glad you came, even though you're crabby. Do you want to sit together? I'm crabby too. You know, crabby people need buddies. Okay? If you're crabby and you find another crabby person, invite them to sit with you. It's this vulnerability that can actually build really beautiful relationship with one another. It's this gift that we have that we're actually able to give it to another person and say, hey, I'll tell you the truth, and then you're welcome to tell me your truth. And we can go into Jesus' presence together. What an incredible gift. You don't have to leave your crabby at the door. We hope you bring it in with you. And the last thing we have to consider the last thing I'd like us to consider as we kind of live out this process together is accountability. In emotionally healthy churches, there is accountability. We follow the process through. We deal with the pain of our past. We seek conversation to clarify, to restore. We ask other people to help us along the way. God gave us each other to pray for one another, to confess our sins to each other, to care for one another, and to keep each other accountable. In fact, accountability is foundational to integrity. And I also want to name that some people hear the word accountability and they shudder, and for good reason. Some of us have experienced distorted accountability in the form of spiritual policing. Maybe you have experienced that, where accountability, maybe in the name of the church or Jesus, has been used actually to police your body or your actions. And my experience is that version of accountability leads to secrecy instead of integrity. And I don't think that that's Jesus' design for accountability. So if you've experienced that, I'm so sorry. I don't think that's how it's meant to be. Healthy accountability is when you can invite another person into your process of becoming an emotionally healthy person. You can ask for feedback that will lead to insight. Something like, hey, how did you experience me in that meeting? Or, hey, how would you describe me in our small group? Or you can say to your kids even, kids are so good at giving feedback. It's going to sting a little bit, but it'll be true. Okay, so you can ask your kids, what does it feel like when I get angry? You'll get some good feedback from your kids if you ask that question. You can ask for support when you're trying something new. You can say to someone, hey, will you call me when I get home tonight? Or will you ask me how this is going in 2 weeks? I'd like to circle back around with you. You know, about a year ago, I was talking to one of my people about a situation that I was really frustrated with. And I was just complaining and lamenting to this person about this situation that I was in. And she listened to me really kindly. And when I was done, she turned to me out of kindness and truth. And she said to me, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. She said, you have the option to choose a different way forward. You can change how this plays out. And it was a really startling moment, but it was really beautiful accountability. She was reflecting back to me that I had the opportunity and the agency to change this pattern. She listened with empathy, and then she advocated to me, for me, for a new way forward. Who knows how much longer I would have been stuck, like in that hamster wheel of that pattern, had I been going at it alone. I couldn't see what was happening. I needed the eyes of another person to say, hey, this is what I see, and you have a choice. True accountability champions health and wholeness in another person. It does not police them. You know, being an emotionally healthy community speaks to the nearness and goodness of Jesus. That Jesus loves us so much, not just as individuals, but as a whole group, that he would invite and poke and nudge us towards health and wholeness over and over and over again. This is who we are, and this is who we're becoming together. You don't have to do this alone. You don't have to figure it out kind of in a sea of your own formation and feelings. You get to do this in company with people who are doing it together. And it tells a really beautiful story. A couple weeks ago, Sarah Herning was up here, and she said, our lives are the first story people read about Jesus. What if the story of our life together spoke about this journey of a group of people who were formed together in all of our rough edges and beautiful places towards becoming emotionally healthy people that could hold presence and space in the world? as all the chaos unfolds around us, that we might be good stewards of the story of Jesus because we let him change us and move us in all sorts of new directions. I'm so thankful that I don't have to do this alone, that I get to do this with all of you. This is so important to us as a church that we want to invite you to participate in a program called Emotionally Focused. This is a program that is designed, it's kind of like a workshop over a course of weeks that's designed to help give you vocabulary and kind of some insight into seeing the patterns of your life and your ways of being. Over the last year, all of our pastors and some other leaders here, they've participated in this program and they have found it really fruitful. I did it earlier this year and I cannot recommend it more. Highly recommend it. It gave me just a different way of looking at some relationships in my life and the ways that I want to show up in the world. It allowed me some space to answer that question or have Jesus direct me through that question of, Jesus, who do you want me to be? So if you'd like to learn more about it, the next cohort is in February. You can point your phone to that QR code in the seat or at the seat right in front of you, and you can get information and you can even sign up. So if you're looking for a place to kind of unpack some of this work in a formal way, I highly recommend you do that. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that your invitation to us over and over again is towards health and wholeness. And so, Lord, here as a community gathered together, would you open our eyes to see ourselves? Would you show us what you want to change in us? And Lord, I ask that you would give us all the grace and the persistence and the hope to walk this road together. Lord, when it gets clumsy, when it gets awkward, when we are uncomfortable, Lord, would you gather us together? Would you keep us tethered to one another and to you? We thank you for the gift of this invitation. Amen.